It can be hard to love yourself in a world that's telling you not to.
Magazine covers say, look a decade younger, lose the five, fix the flab. This is what our average magazine stand looks like. And it's working. We spend more on beauty than on education.
But we are here to say, screw that. You are perfect and it's not up for negotiation.
We're Lauren McCauley and Jenna Free, intuitive eating counselors and body love coaches from thebodylovesociety.com.
This is How to Love Your Body. On this podcast, you will hear about ditching the diet, loving your body, finding your happy, and living a life of freedom.
Hello and welcome to How to Love Your Body. I am Jenna. This is Lauren. We are your undiet coaches ready to chat about something really interesting today. So we want to talk about why Weight Watchers and other popular diets do not work and leave you feeling like a failure. And this really started because we had a great conversation on Instagram the other day. But before we get too far ahead, I do want to share that this episode includes a free worksheet. If you go to thebodylovesociety.com/67, you can grab it before you listen to this episode, or feel free to just go print it off after you listen to us here. So this is to help you do the work that we go through in the episode. So on Instagram the other day, we had a really big conversation about Weight Watchers specifically, and it started because a woman reached out to me and said she was a researcher for Weight Watchers and wanted to know what intuitive eating means to those who subscribe to it. So a note here, they're clearly trying to co-opt intuitive eating language and learn from people who are intuitive eaters how they can talk to their audience like an intuitive eater, even though they're still selling a diet. So that is pretty darn sneaky. But
they ain't fooling us.
No, that's how it all began. So women started sharing their Weight Watcher stories, and the reason it was so powerful was because we were then sharing everyone's stories that they were sharing with us, and you guys got to see a lot of them. Those are still up on our Instagram, on our highlights, if you want to go check those out. At the Body Love Society. But it was so powerful because then we started receiving messages like this. One woman said, while reading these comments and crying, I finally understand that I'm not a failure. And that's so huge. So we all have stories like these and we just don't share them enough. So we think we're all alone and we're the failure and it didn't work for us and there must be something wrong with us, even though this is the common story. This is the common struggle that we're all going through. So why do we have all such similar stories? So here, I'll just read a quick one example that was sent to us. We had tens and tens and tens of stories. It was very interesting. So I've joined Weight Watchers 15 times over many years. Youngest was at 21. The last time actually being just last year, and I'm 34. It truly ruined me. I would always lose 20 to 30 pounds within the first couple of months and then no more, no matter what I did. I couldn't lose any more than that. Because I'm a mid-fat person, I was always told that I had to be doing something wrong because someone of my size should be losing more weight if I was actually tracking my points. I would obsess and track and weigh and not go over my points at all and still gain. It was the absolute worst thing I could have ever done for myself. I've tried it through every change and quote-unquote science breakthrough they have had over the last 13 years. And now since March, I'm trying to crawl my way out of the diet culture hell I've been in since I was 10 years old. And that, we got so many stories of, yeah, I started when I was 8, when I was 10, when I was 12, and I've been struggling ever since. It never worked for me. I always ended up heavier than I started. We are all in this together, and it's the diet's fault, not our fault. And if you truly know that, I think you can lay off yourself a little bit and give yourself a break. So stories like this really are so predictable and common because diets cause our bodies to react in certain ways. It's predictable. Our bodies are all very similar and they're going to react to restriction in certain diets in very specific ways. And our minds also react the same way and get stuck in very similar patterns, both of which are not what you're looking for and is why we struggle so much. So physically, restriction, meaning not eating what you want, not eating to satisfaction, and not just eating what you think is enough. Because I know some people say, well, I technically ate enough calories today, so that's not restriction. No, it is. If you're cutting out food groups or not allowing yourself to eat at certain times or limiting calories in any way, your body's not going to be happy. That is restriction. So this causes primal hunger, where you feel like a crazy animal that needs to eat right now. This causes binge eating, and this causes a preoccupation with food because your body thinks it's in a famine. So it's telling your brain, hey, think about food, find food, think about food, find food. So you become obsessive and crazy, and it's all because your body's not getting what it needs. And that is not what we've been told in our society. Hey, you're eating too much. You're a glutton. You're gross. You should restrict yourself. But that's causing way more problems than actually just letting yourself be.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, other than physical restriction, mentally restriction. Oh my gosh, I can't say that word right now. Your brain just kind of goes. So mental restriction causes a lot of problems as well. So this preoccupation with food distracts us from our lives, and it ends up being all we're thinking about. And we've talked to many women who are like, I just want to stop thinking about food all day long, because that's what Jenna and I did too. That's all we thought about for like 10 years. We become anxious and obsessive, and we have that guilt and that shame when we give into it all. And it's totally inevitable. So any program that limits food in any way, anyway, like food group, calories, amounts, etc., it is a diet. It is. There's no way you can tell us differently. If there's limits in food, it's a diet. Always, every time, no exceptions. And we're just going to stick with that because we've seen it over the years, what we've done and talking to women. So that's why we love doing what we're doing. And we want to shine light on what's going on with why these diets don't work. So diets such as keto, Whole30, they're pretty self-explanatory. They limit food groups, and that's just simple enough. That's what they do. That's why they're not going to work. So what about intermittent fasting? Because that's another popular one. Macros and Weight Watchers. These actually technically allow you to eat whatever you want, but do they really? Not really, because there are so many limitations in all of these different diets. And limitations mean diets. And this is what we believe. So this is why we're sharing this, because this is what we truly believe. So how can we identify a diet when it seems iffy? Because maybe you're thinking, hey, that seems not too bad. Like, I think maybe it's not a diet. So we want to share with you how you can identify it. Because the sad thing is many companies are adopting intuitive eating language. So sometimes it really can be tricky because they're using the language that maybe Jenna and I are using sometimes. So you're like, oh, they changed it. It's different. Maybe this time it'll work. Mm. So signs to look out for is any mention of weighing yourself or doing weigh-ins or any mention of weight loss. Limitations around any certain foods, food groups, timing of eating, anything. Even if they're like, you can eat whatever you want, only in this time range. No, that's a red flag. Any talk around this being the way, like this is the way you're going to make it happen. No, there's absolutely nothing that works for everyone other than listening to your own body, of course. And that's what we truly believe in, because everybody can listen to your own body and do what's best for it. And that's why it works, because it's not a one size fits all. So if there's any numbers like calories, weight, macros, that's definitely a diet. Mention of healing your relationship with food, ending binge eating without talking about needing to stop restricting. Like if they're not talking about stopping with the restriction, that's still going to turn into a diet. So lastly, the mindsets that these diets get you in is really what keeps you stuck in the cycle and making it hard to get out of. It's really tricky. So we want to share a bit about the mindsets. So one of the mindsets is all or nothing thinking, and this could really be relatable because it's either you go all out or you have nothing. So this is the mindset that gets us stuck in the cycle. So counting your points perfectly all week just to go crazy after your weigh-in. We heard a lot of that. Women would say, I'd be perfect up until weigh-in. And right after weigh-in, I'd go binge all night just to be perfect for the next weigh-in. Like, that's no way to live. So it's either you're being perfect or saying screw it. That's pretty much what all or nothing thinking is. So how can we begin escaping this mindset? So reflect daily on where you can have it all. Like, what? Where can you do it? Could you go to the gym and join your friends for pizza that night? Could you have that salad, but it's okay to skip the gym because you're so tired? Like, can this just be okay? Could you have a couple of your mom's cookies and then move on with your day normally? Like, if you were just offered a cookie during the day, it doesn't have to be some big emotional thing. You can have the cookie and move on. Or you don't have to have the cookie if you don't feel like it. That's the thing. It's just tuning into your body. So beginning to see where you can create more ebb and flow in your daily life will move you towards being able to have it all and get out of that cycle for good, because it is so hard to be in that cycle. Because we've been there.
And it is a cycle, literally never ends. So that is why it's hard to get out. Because it's like, well, where's the off ramp? I just keep going in circles. So even that activity there is like, just get creative. And even in your mind, if you start thinking, well, what would it be like to go do like the hard workout just because it felt good, and then still go out with my friends on Saturday night because they invited me? Like, what if those two things could live together? And just kind of a little bit of a thought experiment, even if you're not actively doing those kind of things yet, going to get your brain more flexible and thinking like, wow, I could do both those things and that would be okay. And I would feel good at the end of the day and I'd live my life and it'd be fun. And you just start brainstorming what life could be like. And then you start considering it in your real life and then it can start happening. So you can get out of the cycle.
Yeah. And we just posted on our Instagram yesterday and we said, you know, the whole phrase of kale, yeah, like whatever. And we always say, just eat the damn donut. So both of those can actually coexist. You can have both. You can be excited for your kale and you can be excited for your donut and whatever. If you don't like donuts or kale, that's not the point. The point is you can have it all. You can have both and they can coexist together. It's not one or the other. It's not all or nothing. And that gives you a lot of freedom just right there, knowing that both are okay. So another mindset that we want to talk about is thinking of food as good or bad. So this is what we were taught our whole lives. So it's totally normal to think this way. But here's the thing. Many of us think as more nutritious and less nutritious foods as good or bad. But that brings morality into it. You aren't good if you eat your veggies and bad if you have dessert. That's really how diet culture functions. That's what we've been told. This brings guilt and shame into eating, which leads to binging and the all or nothing cycle all over again. The more you make yourself wrong for the food that you eat, the more stuck you're going to be in this cycle. So how can we begin escaping this mindset? Because it truly doesn't have to be this way. So one thing that you can do is reflect on your language. Do you say things like, I was so good today? Or, oh, I'm being so bad tonight as you reach for another slice of pizza. Or I'm going to be good starting Monday. Like, are those words coming up for you? And you may know that you say that, but you may not even realize, like, that's pretty much how you function all day long, is if you're being good or bad. So it's really important to start becoming aware of your language. So working on language can be so powerful. Because if we start speaking differently, we will naturally begin to think differently. And I think that's the whole thing. It's thinking differently. You don't really have to change too many actions if you can just think differently.
Because then your actions change naturally because you're thinking differently. So if you just focus on actions and changing habits and like physical things you're doing, it's never going to last, because if you're thinking the same way, you're going to go back into old patterns.
Yeah. So thoughts really are powerful. So shift your language whenever you notice yourself speaking this way. You can say things like, I'm going to eat another piece of pizza. End it there. That's it. That's what you're doing. Or I ate a lot of nutritious foods today. That's it. Great. That's what you did. You're not good or bad for that. So start really looking into that type of languaging and how you can shift how you speak about things and really get rid of that morality that you put in to food.
Absolutely. And the third mindset is inflexibility or rigidity. So being flexible is pretty much the foundation of intuitive eating and undieting. If we could put one thing in your brain, it would be to be able to be flexible with your thinking and your actions. So dieting really functions from the opposite. school of thought, though. It's all about rigidity, perfection, inflexibility. This is the plan. You cannot veer off at any time. And if you do, you may as well go in crazy. And it just is never ending because you will never be perfect. Me and Lauren were talking the other day, and I was like, how is it that even for myself, how did I think, okay, I'm going to eat this really strict way? And I genuinely thought, okay, I'm just going to like do this forever now and be perfect. That's impossible. And then we feel like failures when we can't keep it up. Oh, I only ate keto for 3 months and then I fell off the wagon. Well, that's a long time. I don't think I made it 3 months with anything. Like, if it's just so absurd, the fact that we thought, okay, I'm going to do this, and then we actually thought we could maintain it. It seems mad now, but it's what we're taught. We're taught, oh, here's a meal plan. Here's a diet. Now go like live this lifestyle, quote unquote. Well, no one can do it. So you're not alone if you feel like a failure every time you're on these diets. So
yeah, we don't get meal plans for like relationships. We don't get meal plans for like, you know, other important things in our lives. Like, we're not robots.
It's going to be ups and downs. Yeah.
We can't follow one thing. No, we change and evolve as humans for the rest of our life.
Yeah. Even work is like, sometimes you have a push, a few weeks of like working really hard, and then you need a break. Well, it's the same with food. Like, if you're trying to be perfect, your body's going to be like, well, girl, I need a break in some carbs.
Yeah. Like, I'm tired and hungry.
Exactly. If you allow yourself that flexibility every single day, you don't need that kind of all or nothing on and off. You're just flexible. So really, rigidity comes from meal plans. Anything where it's like, hey, eat this, then eat this, then eat that. Well, they're not saying, and if you eat a big chocolate bar before bed, no worries, just keep going. No, then we get, oh, I've failed. And it's so rigid. Counting any certain amount of points every single day of your life, like, of course Weight Watchers was not going to work. You can't do that. And how accurate is he even, really? You don't know every morsel you're putting in your mouth. And the fact that you should know every morsel you're putting in your mouth, like, is that what I want to spend my time, energy, and focus of life on? No. So there's no room for adjustments or variations in diet culture. And when you do cross that very strict line, F this, whatever, may as well go crazy, start again on Monday. And we want to get out of rigid thinking and into flexibility so we can escape that all or nothing, so we can get out. You'll notice everything's kind of a trend, like all or nothing, good and bad, rigidity. It's all related, but it's important to have all these different aspects so you can be free. So how do you escape this rigid mindset? When you feel something didn't go as planned, maybe you got too full, you might have even binged. Just because you want to stop binging doesn't mean you're going to stop tomorrow. Just because you want to be an intuitive eater doesn't mean if binge eating is an issue for you that it goes away in the first instant. That's just not how things work. This is a process, so it's okay if things are still happening. So after the fact, once you have your bearings again, I know sometimes when you're in a binge, it can feel like you're totally out of your body. But once you're back in your body and you're like, oh, shit, take a deep breath. And ask yourself, okay, what's my next best step? Okay, so I feel really full and gross. Because, yeah, often you feel kind of gross. You're like, oh, I'm so full and I didn't even want all that. Stop the knee-jerk reaction of like, screw it, may as well go double crazy and start on Monday. And take that deep breath and make an actual choice. And this might take practice. Maybe that choice is, you know what, I feel so full. I'm going to have a cup of tea. Just go watch some like my favorite TV show and let myself digest this food because it's done. Instead of, I'm so horrible, I'm so ashamed. Either you have the knee-jerk reaction of, I better be perfect tomorrow and starting a new plan, or the screw it. You kind of go back into all or nothing. Instead of that, take a deep breath and figure out, okay, what would be my next best step? And maybe you just overate and got a bit too full. Your next best step is to just eat again when you're hungry. And that might be later tonight. That might be in the morning. But don't make a rule of, oh, I got too full, so tomorrow I better get strict. Or, oh, I got too full, may as well eat everything in the house. These are knee-jerk reactions. These are not choices you're making. It's just kind of our thought pattern goes there. So we got to recreate the thought pattern to be more flexible of, oh, wow, I overate. That's interesting. I wonder why I did that. You can explore it. Figure out, what triggered that? What made that happen? Was I not paying attention? And also, sometimes overeating is just totally normal. And just taking that deep breath is a really important part of this process. Because the knee-jerk reaction comes when we don't pause, right? You just keep going, oh my God, I'm panicking. So take that deep breath. Okay, what would be my next best step? I'm feeling not so good in my body. Maybe a walk is lovely. Maybe just sitting and watching my favorite TV show. Maybe having a cup of tea. Maybe just going to bed. And getting out of the habit of having that knee-jerk reaction of always going back to all or nothing is going to allow you to become more flexible.
So, love it.
To get those three mindsets and to work on them a bit more, if you can write this stuff down, it's going to help you a lot more than just listening to this episode. So go to thebodylovesociety.com/67 and get your free worksheet to go with this episode. So you really can work on getting away from these three mindsets and into a life of wellness without the obsession, because that's what we're here for. This is not about throwing it all away. Oh, but Weight Watchers taught me how to eat more vegetables and make them taste good. Great. You can still eat more vegetables that taste good, but you don't have to be doing it in a way that is sabotaging you, leaving you feeling like a failure and being obsessed with it all. You truly can have wellness without the obsession. And if you are interested in learning more about how to actually do that from A to Z, you can check out our program at thebodylovesociety.com/undiet. We are closed right now, but you can get your name in the hat to get more information when we are open again in October.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.